Good evening.
Good evening.
Hasn't this been a beautiful day? Just outstanding. Outstanding. Do you ever ask the question, what's God's will for me? You have to make a decision. It could be about job. It could be about a possession. It could be, anything. Where to live, what to do. What's God's will for me? I suspect every devout person has asked that question many times. Certainly more than once. I know I have. How can we live in harmony with the will of God? We've been singing about that tonight. And by the way, excellent selection on the songs tonight. They certainly fit with the topic. How do we live so that we can say, I know that God will take care of me? That's a wonderful thought. Look in the book of Romans, the first chapter, and we're going to see as Paul is writing this church and he's telling them how badly he wants to come to them. And he tells them, I want to come if, and that's a big word, if I can find a way in his will. Romans 1, verses 9 and 10. He says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayer. And here's what he's praying about. He said, I'm making request if, by some means, now at last, I might find a way in the will of God to come to you. I don't think Paul is saying, I'm praying that God come and whisper in my ear, Paul, I want you to go to Rome. I think he's recognizing that God controls the world, and if we'll let him, he's in control of our life. God sets up obstacles and God takes down the obstacles. God closes doors and God opens doors. And Paul said, I'm praying that if it's God's will, that I might be able to come to you. He gives the impression he had been wanting to do that for a long time. You know, we often don't think about Paul as having desires and God not fulfilling those desires. I mean, he's an inspired man. He's a great preacher. He establishes churches. He does. Surely God gives him... No, this is not the only time Paul mentions that he has a tremendous desire and it's not been fulfilled yet. Not been fulfilled yet. Kim mentioned to me just a few minutes ago that these television programs like Person of Interest, you ever watch that program? They can set off somewhere and look through buildings and look through towns and they can see people moving around and can see problems coming in front of them and they run out there and they take care of that problem. And that's kind of like God. He knows what's down the road. It's kind of like what we do as parents. We see our kids heading off in a certain direction. And we get there and say, son, daughter, this is something you ought to think about because there's this problem and that problem. And of course, that always works, right? Did it with you when your parents told you, sure, Zach. I know your mother. Oh. But Paul mentions his desire, even his plans to go to Rome. And he prayed about those plans. But he recognized that it has to be found in the will of God for it to come to pass. Now, the will of God, that's an interesting expression. It's used in a number of ways in the Bible. There's a lot of different facets to the will of God. I mean, certainly we all know there's the revealed will of God, the Bible, that which he's given us that he's revealed in many different ways, we're told in Hebrews 1. He sent his, inspired prophets. He sent his own son. He sent the Spirit to guide the writers of the New Testament. And in this proclaimed will of God, it's what we must do to be saved. Matthew 7 and verse number 21, where Jesus said, the only ones that get to go to heaven are he that does the will of God. Not just says, Lord, Lord, but it's the one that does the will of God. So it's essential to know the revealed will of God. We've got to spend time studying. We've got to know what's in that, what God has revealed through Scripture. There's a second kind of God's will, though, that the Bible talks about, and that's God's permissive will. He allows things to happen that aren't necessarily according to his desired will. He permits people to sin. Right? I mean, he even permits people to hurt other people. That's his permissive will. He's not pleased with that. And someday he's going to judge that. We're told in Acts 17, 30 and 31, where Jesus said that, you know, God has times past has overlooked things, but he says now he's commanded a day in which he will judge the world. So that's going to happen when we do something in violation of God's permissive will. But, you know, really, sometimes it just doesn't matter what we do. I got a gray suit and a black suit. And when I got up this morning, you know, I was talking with Sandy, and she said, what suit are you going to wear today? And I said, I don't know. I said, I feel patriotic. I'm going to wear a blue suit and a red tie and a white shirt. I don't know if anybody noticed the red, white, and blue, but that was my thought and picking. I could have just as easily picked the other one. I mean, with a white shirt, you can get away with anything, you know. Both of them, God doesn't care whether I'm here in a gray suit or a blue suit or a black suit or no suit. Well, some clothes, but not necessarily a suit. All choices don't please God, but they're not necessarily required by God. Right? I mean, you know, you can buy a Chevy or a Ford or you can buy a Honda or a Kia or that. God doesn't care. God doesn't care. But then there's God's providential will, the third facet, I guess you would say, of God's will. If you're still in Romans 1, going back to verse 10, Paul said, I'm making request if by some means, now, I just hear the almost frustration of Paul. Now, at last, I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. God works providentially in our lives. I'm a firm believer in the providence of God. In the 15th chapter of Romans, Paul comes back to this thought and says in 15:32 that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together for you. Paul understood that he wanted his life to coincide with God's will. And that's what we ought to do. That's the same thing we ought to be praying. You know, God, I don't know what to do. I mean, I'm going to be 70 years old here in just a few weeks. Should I retire? Should I just let a younger man have this pulpit and sit down and or should I keep preaching? I want to do God's will. I don't know. I know my desire, and that's to continue to preach, because I love to preach. I love to do the study and I love the presentation. I love what I do. Mike Wallace passed away this weekend. The newscaster, I don't know if you saw that or not, his son Chris interviewed him on his program several years ago. And he asked him, Dad, when are you going to retire? He was 80-something then. And he said, I'm not working. And he had just put on an hour-long special the week before. And he said, well, what do you call that? He said, that was fun. I enjoy what I'm doing. When it becomes work, then I'll think about retiring from it. But as long as it's fun, I mean, what do you retire to do? Do what you want to do, right? If you're already doing what you want to do, there's not much motivation. I mean, you can only catch so many fish. And you know, you can only hit so many golf balls. And then you sit in the corner and start going, at least I would. I drive me crazy. But I want my will to coincide with God's will. Our requests are answered, we're told, when they're according to God's will. Look over in 1 John, the 5th chapter, and verse number 14. So now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. We can be confident that our prayers will be answered if they suit God's will. And that ought to be okay with us. And that's what my lesson's about today. Seeking God's providential will. I think the way we do it is pretty well laid out for us. First, we begin with the proclaimed Word of God. What does the Bible say about it? We need to study diligently to learn what God has revealed. But you know something? If you don't embrace and you don't practice the revealed will of God, it doesn't make much difference to you what it says. You're going to do what you want to do, irregardless of what it says. But there's a tremendous value in focusing on the proclaimed will of God. First, we won't be ignorant of what it's essential for us to do. What is essential for us to do. And we can avoid choices that are contrary to God's will. If we know God's will. So that's the first place we need to start, is to study diligently the Word of God. And what does He say about this, that, or the other? The decision. And then I think He's told us there's a second thing that we need to do, and that's seek advice from others. Look in the book of Proverbs. I'm going to the 11th chapter of the book of Proverbs. Going to be looking at verse 14. Where there's no counsel, the people fall. But in a multitude of counselors, there's safety. If you try to figure it all out for yourself and don't ask for any help and any advice and any counsel, you're going to fail. Because whether you believe it or not, you don't know everything about everything. There are other folks that have been there and done that. That's one of the lessons that I really tried to teach my kids. That I've been there and done that. Sandy's been there and done that. Come and ask for advice. Now, that implies that it's advice. I don't give orders to my kids anymore. Although there were times. But that's another whole lesson. I give advice. I try to counsel. And I think one of the things we need to do if we're seeking God's will, and that's to sit down and discuss the alternatives with older, mature Christians. Look over in the 12th chapter in verse 15. It says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But he who heeds counsel is wise. You ever make a mistake and just kick yourself because you didn't ask somebody for advice? Or you heard the advice and ignored it and went on and did it anyway? I'm sure all of us have done that. This passage is just so plain. I mean, it almost didn't need to be written. It's so much into our own experience. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. You look at it and say, I know what I'm going to do there. I don't need to ask anybody. I don't need to seek God's will. I know what's going to. And you're a fool. Lawyers have a saying something like that. Said the man that his own lawyer has a fool for a client. Doctors say the same thing. You don't treat yourself. You don't want to hear what it you know, you listen to somebody else and you can say, ooh, you got a problem in this lung or you got a problem in this heart. You listen to your own and you don't want to hear that. So you don't hear it. We need to seek advice and to discuss the alternatives. Now remember the word advice. I'm not saying we need to go ask for somebody else to make the decision for you. We're seeking God's will. We need to consult the wisdom in the Bible. The book of Proverbs and the book of Ecclesiastes has tremendous wisdom on just about anything you want to get into. That kind of fits with the first one, but I think the third thing we need to do is not only begin with the Word of God, seek the advice of others, but then ask God for wisdom. We need to pray about it. What did Paul say he had done about this trip to Rome? He said, I've prayed earnestly. And the implication is for a long time. He says, now at last, we need to pray for the wisdom to discern wisely. Go to the book of James, the first chapter, starting with verse number 5. James tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, here I am. I'm lacking wisdom. And when we come to that stage where we understand we're lacking wisdom, we've reached a long way. He says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it'll be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. Wisdom. That's a wonderful thought, a wonderful study. If you want to do a good Bible study sometime, go to the concordance in the back of your Bible or go to Strong's or Young's or one of these other Bible concordances and just look the passages up that talk about wisdom. You'll be surprised what God has to say. Wisdom is the spiritual insight that enables us to evaluate situations clearly. You know, the Masters golf tournament's going on this weekend. One of the most difficult things to do is to think about a guy standing out there in the middle of that fairway with millions of people watching him on television, thousands of people all around him, and he has to decide how to hit that ball. Do I hit it to this side of the green or do I hit it to that side of the green? I need to get it in because I'm a stroke behind. And you can get yourself so worked up, which, by the way, Phil Mickelson did this afternoon. And he, you could just see him. He was just getting himself And he smacked that ball, and it went like mine do. Just off in the woods. I jumped out of the chair, and I said, yes, I'm not the only one that does that. But you know something? He was aiming for that pin, and he thought he was going to make it. So he hit it harder than he really should have and swung himself around more. And when he hit it, it went right where he hit it. He let his emotions cloud his judgment. And don't we do that sometimes? We need to ask God for the wisdom to evaluate the situation clearly. We need to ask God for the wisdom to utilize the options that we have and the abilities that we have. So, first we need to begin with the study of God's Word. Second, we need to seek advice from others. Third, we need to ask God for wisdom. And then the fourth one is one of the hardest things in this world to do. And that's to totally commit your way to God. It really, truly is. Sometimes God opens doors and sometimes He closes them. And when we commit our will to God, what we're saying is, Lord, if you think that door needs to be closed, you close it. And that's okay. Even though I want what's behind that door really bad, that's okay, you close the door. Isn't that kind of what Paul was saying? I've been praying that at long last I can come if I can find it in God's will. And the implication is, and if I don't, I won't be there. We need to make our plans subject to God's will, both proclaimed and providential. If you're still in James, go to the fourth chapter and verse number 15. It said, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city and spend a year there and buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you know not what will happen tomorrow. Well, what's your life? It's a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this and do that. But now you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. When we make plans without considering God, without considering how it's going to impact and what we're going to do, then we're saying, I'm going to go to this city and I'm going to live there a couple of years and I'm going to make money. And God's sitting back saying, yeah, you got no idea. You really don't. I mean, 2 weeks ago, Sandy and I were sitting at home thinking, you know, Jessica's due date's Thursday, maybe Friday or Saturday. And we had plans for the week. Monday afternoon, rather late, we got a call and said, hey, I'm having a C-section tomorrow night. I got the call. You know what I said? You're what? She said, yeah, they're going to induce me right after midnight. So, you know, there went our plans for the week. I was telling Kim, I came home Wednesday afternoon, set the suitcase in the house, got back in the car, went and got my hair cut. I was 3 weeks overdue for a haircut. I was a week overdue when I got the call. I mean, I couldn't hear anymore. The hair was hanging down over my ears. I could reach in the back and put it together and make a ponytail. I did that to Jessica. I put it in the took one of her things and put it in the ponytail. She just sat there. Oh, Dad! You don't know what's tomorrow. We really don't know what's tonight. let alone tomorrow. Look in Matthew 26 in verse 39. Matthew 26 and verse 39. And there's an amazing statement here made by Jesus that we need to make our statement. Jesus went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me." You ever wonder if there was a pause there? Nevertheless, he says, not my will, but as you will. Do you pray like that? When you're trying to make a decision, what job should I have? What relationship should I get in? What house should I buy? What investment should I buy? How should I make a decision about my future? Here's what I want, Lord. And that's what Jesus was saying. Here's what I want, Lord. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. God, if you want to close that door, that's okay. That's okay. I'm happy with that. And if God closes that door, you know there are other open doors. Go look for them. What are the alternatives? Because, you know, God's not like a train. He's able to run on more than one track. Sometimes the choices that we need to make are not the right way. Sometimes it's between good and better. Because God can use us in a lot of different ways. A lot of different ways. It's a matter of us being willing to do whatever our hands find, to do it the very best we can. So whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord. Our goal should be to stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Colossians 4 and verse number 12. Says that was Epaphroditus' desire for his brethren in Colossae, that they might stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Particularly as it pertains to the proclaimed Word of God, but as much as possible to the providential and permissive will of God. I mean, you think about what Jesus, as he taught us to pray. He says in Matthew 6, in verse number 10, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Jesus prayed himself. We just looked at it. Not my will, but as you will. So the question for the night, the question for us to ponder on as we make the decisions that we need to make, is am I really seeking to find a way in the will of God? Or am I seeking to bend God's will to my way? Paul said he was seeking to find a way in the will of God as it pertained to the plans in his life. And so will we. If we're really committed to obeying God's will. As you look at yourself and you look at the decisions that you're facing right now, because all of us are you looking to find a way in the will of God or are you looking to get your will? Do you need help? Do you need counsel? Do you need prayer? Do you need study? Is there any way that we can help? Please, give us that opportunity and do it right now while we stand.